This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stunningly gorgeous Amanda Flanders. Our studio guest, Gemma Oliver, and we're going to be hearing from Neil Curran fairly shortly. But we've had a kind of busy day today, haven't we?
Just a bit.
It's just been a bit. Have you got any more tweets that we need to read?
I haven't found any, no.
Okay.
Twitter is
they've dried up a bit. They've lost their mojo.
I'm very disappointed with the lack of gifts today.
Martin was doing well with his gifts.
Martin's doing well. And Athelbrae did some really
Things. As always. So get your gifts running again. Bath bomb boom.
Bath bomb boom?
Bath bomb boom.
Try saying that fast.
Bath bomb boom is to open in Ashford's Park Mall. An empty unit in Ashford Town Centre will soon be filled by a new bath bomb shop.
Oh, dear.
Bath bomb. Am I boring you?
It's thinking of relaxing in a bath bomb.
Bath bomb boom is launched. Bath bomb boom, that's a name, isn't it? Bath bomb boom is launching on Monday, July the 19th. That's yesterday, isn't it?
Yep.
So it opened yesterday in Park Mall, bringing with it a range of bath accessories. Bath bomb boom, I like it.
Yeah.
Born out of the pandemic, the family-run business rapidly gained customers via its Facebook page to the point where a physical shop was the next logical step. So they've opened in Park Mall in the centre of Ashford.
Wow.
Go and have a look. Bath bomb boom, I like
Congrats.
It. It's just worth it, just for the name, isn't it?
Bath
bomb boom.
Sure,
yeah.
You can have a bath bomb bath.
Bath bomb boom, bath, 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 bath. Boom.
Bath bomb boom, bath.
I love a bath.
Right.
Bath, yes.
What you got?
What have I got? Here we go. Where's that long one? Let me get it out of the way. Can't believe you gave me this one. Are you ready?
Yeah, go for it.
New funding will double the multiple intelligence hub's capacity to support children and young people with additional needs through alternative learning. And that's just the header. Based in Borough Green, the Multiple Intelligent Hub offers alternative hands-on learning experiences and activities for children and young adults with special education needs. Send through horticultural and other land-based activities, coordinators with expertise in SEND help children and young people with their social, emotional and personal development, as well as improving their academic outcomes by helping them to re-engage with education or find an alternative way to learn. The hub offers a breadth of outdoor activities thanks to its lease of 7.5 acres of land within the borough of Tunbridge and Morling. These activities are a refreshing and practical way of learning for those with additional needs outside of school term time in a beautiful rural environment. Many beneficiaries are autistic, and the hub's trained staff provide a particular focus on speech, language and communication needs, with an understanding of how to deliver hands-on learning to unlock a young person's potential. The Multiple Intelligent Hub applied to Kent Community Foundation for a combined loan and grant of £13,400 to improve the infrastructure on their site and allow them to double the number of children and young people with SEND that they could support each day. James Horn, Grants and Social Loans Manager, Kent Community Foundation, said, "Kent Community Foundation is delighted to support Multiple Intelligent Hub CIC through our Kent Social Enterprise Loan Fund with an unsecured loan of £11,000 combined with a grant of £2,400. Social enterprises and charities interested in applying for a loan should visit kentcf.org.uk/apply/apply-for-a-loan or call James Horn, Grants and Social Loans Manager on 01303 814 500.
Fantastic. That was beautifully read.
It's such a long one.
Well done. Do you know what? I think it's about time we heard from Neil, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're going to join Neil Curran. And Neil is the Chief Executive of Paragon Drones. Let's hear what Neil had to say.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show for the very first time, Mr. Neil Curran. Neil is of Paragon Drones. Neil, good afternoon. Welcome to the Bunker Show. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Paul. Thank you very much for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure, my friend. Okay, let's kick off. First and foremost, let's find out a little bit about Neil. Tell us a little bit about Neil, a bit about your background, you know, where you're from, what you do, you know, that kind of stuff.
Well, you can tell by my accent, I'm not a native of Kent, but We've based our business here. So when I say we, it's my business partner, Scott, and I. Both have a strong connection with Kent. We're both ex-Army Royal Engineers. So right. We spent an awful lot of time in the Medway area.
Okay.
And been stationed in Maidstone as well. So we have a strong connection with Kent.
Right.
So it was an obvious choice to base ourselves here.
Okay. So were you Royal Engineers, you say? Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Fantastic. That's really good stuff. Okay. So Paragon Drones. Drones are an interesting development, aren't they, over the last few years? And there's been some, you know, kind of, I don't know how to put it. I mean, we had a little bit of a problem a couple of years ago, didn't we, with somebody flying a drone at Heathrow, trying to be disruptive. And, of course, that sent the government into meltdown over trying to regulate everything. But, of course, drone technology has moved on very rapidly. So what first of all, tell us when you started in the drone business.
So Scott and I, after we left the Royal Engineers, we were both involved in the humanitarian demining sector for a few years. And we both were involved in introducing drones to improve the safety aspect and data collection aspect for the demining world. So while we were out there, we recognized the value in keeping things safer, making tasks quicker, and saving money. So we recognized that value straight away. So after a few years, we thought there was, as you pointed out, with the speed of technology in the drone industry is ridiculous. So we decided that we'd come back and establish Paragon Drones.
Right, absolutely. Wow. I mean, what a story. Let's just go back there because I don't want to miss this bit. So you were I guess you're talking about landmines in former conflict areas.
That's right, yes.
Yeah. And as part of that, you were deploying drones. Okay, that's interesting. So I'm just fascinated by that because, you know, those of us that know nothing about that, just think of a bloke walking along with a mine detector and a pair of earphones on going beep, beep, beep. I'm sure it's far more complex than that now. And I know they use a lot of robots and stuff like that. But when looking at an area from the air, what is it that you look for that would maybe identify that there's a mine or something buried there?
Well, there's dozens of telltale signs. It's whether it's an open field, you look at where the grass is growing or not growing. You also look for signs of where people walk and they don't walk. Then there's also obvious signs where a mine may have detonated, where you'll get cratering or damage to surrounding buildings that are still standing or half standing.
Yeah,
so there's lots of things to look at.
It's interesting, isn't it? I'm a great history buff, and I read a lot of stuff about history and archaeology. And one of the things that has happened in this country since the introduction of drone technology is just how many old settlements have been discovered for exactly the same reason. You know, people have flown a drone and they've gone, what's that? In the landscape, that doesn't look right. There's a ridge there that shouldn't be there. And when they actually recently, from a drone footage, found an entire Roman town that had been buried. Nobody knew it was there. Spotted the telltale signs from the air, excavated it, found walls and villas and all kinds. So it's amazing how that bird's eye view completely changes everything, doesn't it?
So, I mean, I'm showing my age here, but if you think back to the old Time Team programs with Tony Robinson, where they were pushing something along the ground, it was quite intensive. But with drones and the adaptability for different platforms, as you pointed out, there's ground scanning pieces of equipment now that are faster and cheaper to use than even Tony Robinson's equipment.
Yeah, absolutely. And funny enough, many, many years ago, I was into hot air ballooning. And because a hot air balloon doesn't move very fast, if it moves at all, sometimes you actually get a very similar view, I guess, to a drone, because you're statically sat in a basket just looking at the ground. So I fully get what you're saying. Okay, so let's move forward. You were doing this incredibly I was going to say interesting, but dangerous, but very necessary work, helping clear minds from various battlefields. And let's move forward now. When did you actually establish Paragon?
We started up at the beginning of 2020, pre-COVID. And unfortunately, like the rest of the world, it wasn't the best timing.
Oh dear. Well, funnily enough, it's funny you should say that, because obviously you start a business and then a couple of months into it, they go, no, do you know what? We're shutting the world. And you think, oh my God, what have I done? But funnily enough, I mean, I'm incredibly old. I'm much older than you. And I've been through nothing quite like this, I have to say, because this is getting quite ridiculous now. But at previous points in the business cycle, you know, I've been through three or four massive upheavals, you know, dot-com bubble bursts, financial meltdowns, and the other things that happen on a regular cyclical basis. One of the interesting things, and I hope this encourages you, is that people that start businesses right in the middle of those kind of things tend to be stronger businesses in the long run than others. Because if you can survive that, you can survive anything, basically.
Right.
Yeah. So, funnily enough, it is actually a pretty good time to start a business, because, you know, everything's being disrupted. So, you know, it's just one of those weird things, isn't it? So you launched at the beginning of 2020. Launched. Mm-hmm. You see what I did there? Tell us a little bit about the drones that you have, and then we'll talk a little bit about the work that you do.
So the drones, we have a mixed fleet, which ties into what we do. We operate some what you'd associate with traditional drone work, which is in the air. And we have different cameras and other equipment that can be attached. So we would, for aerial work, we'd work alongside construction and utility companies where we can produce digital terrain models and digital surface models. We can also provide just your normal standard, what you would assume with drone work of being photography, so orthomosaics and 360 panorama products. Then tying in finally with that, then we have health and safety induction flights for construction areas and, again, conditions flights. So you can see as a site is built, you can check, we can do everything that a surveyor would like to see, a fraction of the time, a fraction of the cost.
It's interesting, isn't it, or is an outsider, that with a new piece of technology like this, you know, most of us, I think, just think about, well, what will you use a drone for? Well, taking a photo of your house from above, which you do, I'm sure. But once a piece of technology like this comes along, it tends to invent uses for itself, if you see what I mean, that you maybe wouldn't even have considered once upon a time because it wasn't practically possible. You know, so
exactly.
Go on.
Sorry, and it's where our aerial, but we also have a more sophisticated piece of equipment. We have a specific drone that you talk about inventing work for yourself. We have a drone that's specifically designed to work in confined spaces.
Right.
So whereas traditionally you had men on harnesses with breathing apparatus, we can now substitute the need for that as well. So it's whether we're taking aerial taskings or confined space taskings, where, again, there's some substitution, but there's also discovering new ways use that technology.
Okay, I'm fascinated by that. So you've got a drone for confined space. Is it really tiny?
It's pretty small, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like a nanobot, isn't it? And you got to shove it up a pipe and you can see things. Oh, I like that.
Absolutely. So basically, if you imagine wherever you could fit a man with some breathing apparatus on him, we can substitute the need for that.
Right.
So we're making everything safer and cheaper and quicker.
Okay. I've got to mention this. I don't want to dwell on it too much, but I think a lot of us first became really aware of drones a couple of years ago when there was a lot of shenanigans going around Heathrow Airport. where somebody kept flying a drone and disrupting the air traffic. And that caused the government to rush off and start looking at regulations. So nowadays, I take it it's a heavily regulated industry.
It is, and it always has been, but you can never account for idiots in the world. Yeah. But the CAA are very user-friendly. So whether you're interested in thinking about buying a drone for a hobby or whether you're a concerned citizen and you'd like to know if somebody who's flying a drone is within their rights, the CAA has plenty of very easily digestible information online.
Yeah, that's a question that we get asked quite a lot. In fact, Jules, my co-host, was mentioning naked sunbathing the other day and the impact of drones, as you would. So what I'll do, thank you for that tip. I'll actually put a link to the CAA website on the radio website. So if anybody is interested in the technical details and the rules and regulations, and presumably what you can do if you think your space is being invaded unfairly.
Exactly. Everyone has a right to privacy.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll put a link to that on the radio website. Thank you for that, Neil. That's a good hat tip so that people can find out more about that. Okay, so you launched in 2020. You're doing a huge range of different things with your drones.
Yes.
Just as we come towards the end of the interview, where do you see... I've got two kind of questions I want to ask you. Where do you see drone technology going to next? How do you see that developing?
You name it. I mean, if you just think of a drone as a platform to enable different software and different platforms that can be attached to that drone, I mean, the options are limitless.
Yeah.
If somebody had said to you 20 years ago that you would get a delivery from a famous company via this tiny, tiny machine, you'd laugh.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Absolutely. And funny enough, that same company has also been experimenting in urban areas with robot dog delivery as well, which is quite interesting. but you're right. And also, I mean, I just want to ask this. I don't want to pursue it too much, but I'm just fascinated. One of the things you do see is in military operations.
Yes.
I was at an event last year where NATO and the MOD were there showing off some of their video footage. And, of course, they use what I would only describe as super drones, I guess, unmanned aircraft for the delivery of weapons and surveillance. And some of those must travel thousands of miles.
That's right. The connectivity really isn't an issue for them. They can... As we know, they can be flown from the other side of the world, depending on the technology and the size of the drone. So it's scary times.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It very much is with things like that. But also interesting how you can do so many more things using the technology. Okay, let's come back down to Earth. I've got all these puns, you know, Neil. You know, I bet you've never heard any of these before. Coming back down to Earth... with Paragon Drones, for you as a company, a fledgling company, how do you see things unfolding for you? And now, you know, coming up, we're supposed to be unlocking now and getting back to some kind of normality, hopefully. So as a business, and where do you see yourselves going over the next couple of years?
Well, it's interesting that you said that launching, particularly during COVID, has opened up opportunities, and certainly as far as flying a drone, because we have the capability now to live stream to our customers. So if you want to do look at somewhere else 100 miles down the road, we can fly for you and live stream it to your desk. So you have that capacity where we can now do all the hard work for you. So that's going to be something that's going to be growing again and again. And that's coupled with everything that we're focused on is risk reduction. So if we can make things safer and we don't put people in risk where traditionally they may have been, then that's where we want to go. We want to make things safer and easier for everyone.
Absolutely. I'm just thinking about the most mundane of applications, I guess. One of the things that interests me, but basically because I've had a drone fly past my house, is how much nicer your house looks from the air than from ground level.
And at 3 a.m. as well. Everything looks great with the lights.
Yeah, exactly. So I kind of guess, though, that in the property market, drone technology is going to start to play a bigger and bigger role in that. You know, we've already got property companies that do video walkthroughs of property. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that they're going to use drone technology as well to, because, you know, with a picture from the air of a house, you can see the area, you can see the situation that the house is in. Now, that doesn't always work because, you know, some estate agents are quite clever at taking photographs on the right angle. But if I was going to buy a house, I'd want to see how it sits in the landscape. And particularly one of the reasons I had mine done is some people have got planning permission to build 60 houses in the fields next to me. So I wanted to see how that was going to impact my land and my garden and, you know, how close they were going to be. And the best way of doing that was from the air because you just get a perfect map of what's going on. Finally, just for completeness, when you're flying drones, I'm assuming that it's either video or still shots or a combination of both.
That's right. Yes, it'll be it's video, and as I said, it could be live stream video if you want. But there's from that we can extract stills or whatever else that you want, and they can be formatted and put into a report however you want it.
Right. This is going to sound a really stupid question, and forgive me. I mean, but is there such a thing as a manned drone? You know, I mean, is anybody got a drone big enough that you can sit in it?
Well, there are. There are drones that are, it sounds counterproductive, but they're making drones the size of helicopters and small cars now. They're making a car that can convert to fly. Yeah. So it's, as I said, it's drones. The technology is only limited by the imagination of the people working in the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fascinating piece of technology, and it's just the amount of applications that open up that you just hadn't ever thought of. You know, your confined space thing is a big one because I think all of us just think of a thing up in the air looking at stuff. But who would have thought of being able to get into a confined space to look and video and stream something? I mean, that's just fantastically useful. I mean, we're all familiar with fiber optic cable cameras that you can stick up various things, including people. having a drone fly somewhere is really interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. Neil, it's fascinating talking to you about this. Remind us where you're based again.
We're based in the Dockyard in Chatham.
Right. Okay. And when you're doing jobs, are you primarily Kent focused, southeast, or national?
We're national. We can go anywhere that the work takes us.
Yeah, you just fly there, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting point. I mean, with the type of drones that you're using, how far away can they? I mean, I'm assuming you're controlling them from the ground somewhere. How far away can they go? And what happens if they go too far, if you see what I mean?
Well, there's two parts of that answer. One is we're regulated by the rules and regulations put in place by the CAA. And secondly, it's dependent on the drone and the battery life. So we're regulated by the CAA and we're dictated to by the battery power. So, and that will be determined by whatever job we've been asked to do.
Okay. Well, I'm just wondering if there's a, you know, like you're flying a drone and it gets further and further away from you, and then there's some point it loses the contact or signal. Is that possible, or is there a technology to minimize that?
It is possible. Normally, you have to keep your drone in your line of sight. You can get permissions to fly beyond that, which are, again, is something specific. But really, as a rule of thumb, you have to be able to keep an eye on it the whole time.
Yeah, okay. So you have to be able to see it, and then it's fine. And you can tell what kind of person I am. I'm a real pessimist. So what happens if the battery goes flat while it's up in the air? I mean, presumably it warns you if the battery's running out.
Exactly. On your controller, you'll have a energy levels, time flown, and it's all part of an ongoing check that you as a pilot would keep an eye on the whole time. But they have their own built-in features. So if it gets to a point where they're losing power, depending on the model that you use, they'll just simply turn around and return to you when they get to a critical point, or they may just decide to land where they are controlled.
Fantastic. Cool. Neil, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for sharing that information with us. A fascinating topic, fascinating subject. We wish you continued success with your business. If people want to find out more about Paragon Drones, what's the best way to do that?
You can visit our website at paragondrones.co.uk, or you can, if you want to put up with my strange accent, you can call me on 03 30 33 26 236.
Fantastic. We will put all those details on the Kent Business Radio website so that people can follow up with that. Neil, thank you so much for that. Fantastic talking to you. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, and we wish you continued success. Bye for now.
Thank you, Paul.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk. to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday, 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Loch Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
That was a fantastic Mr. Neil Curran there of Paragon Drones, talking all about drone technology. And I was fascinated by it, because you think about drones as something up in the air, but it was the confined space that I just never dawned on me that you could have a little tiny midi itty bitty drone that you could put into confined spaces.
No, amazing.
You know what's going to happen any minute now, don't you? The electricity's going to go off.
Keep flickering lights.
The lights keep flickering in here. It's one of those days, so it's going to happen. You know it's going to happen. All of a sudden, it's going to die. Get out of it, blimey. Anyway, Amanda has got some information to tell you about.
I have to do this first, because I've just seen this, and okay. I think it's very, very good, because as parents, a lot of you out there have just about to, or haven't just about to start the dreaded summer holidays. Mm. Ours, unfortunately, is going to be slightly different to how we predicted, since my daughter decided to break her arm on Thursday evening.
Yep.
And so now we will not be horse riding and swimming all summer. So I'm going to need these tips to help me going. So, how to enjoy your summer holidays with your kids. Accept you won't enjoy it, they won't enjoy it, and you won't enjoy it all the time. Do not tidy your house now until September, because it's pointless.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ignore messy rooms. Don't waste your time repeating yourself. Okay.
I think we've covered that one, haven't we?
Yeah. Don't limit yourself to one FFS per day. Be limitless.
That's brilliant.
Ignore fighting. Be aloof. Care not if he said, she said. And that's normally between Lucy and Paul, not any other children.
She winds me up. Deliberately.
Enjoy coffee after coffee after coffee. And then once they're asleep, if they sleep, enjoy a gin after a gin after a gin. And I would just go gin all day, to be fair. If they've been in the pool, remember that technically it is a bath. So, yeah, I like that one. Fill your cupboards with endless snacks and let them devour them without feeling guilty. Fed is best. And sit back, let them Netflix, and you can chill. So there we go. That will help you all get through the next 6 weeks.
Well, that sounds like the last 6 weeks.
No, it's not. She was at school then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, interesting time, so.
Yes, indeed. Well, at least, yeah, we might be able to get out and about a little bit this summer.
Well, that was the plan, wasn't it? We were going to do staycations one day at a time.
Yeah.
Going to the beach and stuff like that. Some of that ain't going to happen now.
No, but I like the new plan, which is to go to the Haribo shop at the outlet centre.
Right, okay.
We could leave her in there for an hour or so.
Yeah, treat yourself. Really,
yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And bearing in mind, it's my birthday soon.
It is your birthday soon. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
You want Haribos for your birthday?
Oh.
So I can just take you and Lucy to the Haribos and I'll go for Wagamamas for lunch.
Something like that.
Do you know what? I hate to admit this. I've never had a Wagamamas.
Have you not?
No.
You need one.
I've never had it.
It's one of my favourite junk foods, if you want to call it that.
That junky.
It's not that junky. That's, you know.
As healthy as junk food goes.
It's, yeah, I think that's the best description of it. It's the healthiest junk food going. I mean, I'm a big Nando's fan as well. I love a cheeky Nando's.
Doesn't love a cheeky Nando's?
Yeah, but I haven't had one for ages. Mm. But we do quite often have a takeaway Wagamamas.
Yeah.
It's Japanese-ish. But it is nice, isn't it?
It's very nice.
My brother keeps banging on to me, saying, oh, my God, you've not had a Wagamamas. And I'm like, okay, I will try it at some point, I promise.
Our daughter Lucy is one of the fussiest eaters on the planet. And strangely for a child, she doesn't like chocolate and she doesn't like fast food. Mm. And she doesn't like pizza or anything, but she loves a Wagamamas.
She does love a Wagamamas.
She loves a Wagamamas. And we had a special treat the other night when she broke her arm.
Yeah.
The first request is, can we have Wagamamas? Yeah.
Yeah, we do like it. So we could do that then. So we could go to the outlet centre, do a little bit of shoe shopping.
Did you see that just got snucked in there?
Noticed that.
You know, I'm down to my last 42 pairs of shoes. So I haven't worn for 18 months.
Because
I might need a new set of Labatans or something.
But Haribo's and then my grandmama's for lunch.
Okay. Sounds like a perfect day.
That sounds like a really good day, isn't it? We'll go with that. Do you want me to do a proper email then?
Yeah, go on.
I just like that. It was good. Construction Southeast Construction Expo. Mm. Here we go. Talking about live events being back. This is great. The expo will be live at the South of England Event Centre on 21st of October 2021. But because we have the technology now, we are going to be live streaming the event as well. So a nice hybrid event. And I think we're going to see a lot of this.
You're right. Yeah.
Because people have, you know, you've always got the combination of people want to go to events and they can't make it, they can't get there. And obviously there's still going to be a certain amount of uncertainty in people's minds going forward.
And of course, people have invested in the technology to do online events now. So you don't want to throw it away. Okay. So you're absolutely right, Amanda. As always, it will be a hybrid thing, isn't it?
Witness, he did say, I'm always right.
Yeah. I'm just flattering.
But yes, hybrid events are definitely going to be the way forward for the next foreseeable future. So if you are exhibiting, you will, in addition to your stand, get an online presence in a virtual booth, totally free, so loads more construction businesses can see your products and services. If you are a visitor, you will have fantastic networking opportunities, both live at the expo and by visiting our virtual networking room. This is where you can connect to both virtual and live events and live attendees. The speaker sessions will be streamed live. If you are attending or virtually attending and miss any of the speakers, live recordings will be available. The Southeast Construction Expo is where you find out about major projects and investment opportunities. Hear from industry-focused speakers sharing high-value content. Free meet the buyer with top UK construction companies. Live demos of great new innovative products. How to profit from the many new ways of modern construction and meet thousands of construction businesses and great networking. So fantastic. Get yourself booked on to go to it. If you go to info@constructionexpo.co.uk and using the hashtags construction projects, networking, construction UK. So that's 21st of October.
Fantastic. In your industry, Gemma, I mean, is there a PA show or anything like that?
There used to be in London,
right,
at the Excel in London, and I had the privilege of going a few years ago now, and it was actually really good.
Right.
But I don't know whether virtually they do anything, if I'm being totally honest with you. I think, obviously, COVID has thrown a spanner in the works, so I wouldn't like to say, but, I mean, if they don't, someone should.
Well, they do the meeting show, which then has the PA
Expo.
PA Expo, yes. Yeah. So you've got the meeting show in London, which this year is moved to Olympia. It used to be, the Excel, it used to be at Olympia. And part of that, they have the PA show.
Okay.
So they were hoping to have done that in June obviously that got pushed forward, so I think they've moved it back to October. But yeah, there's quite a few of the big ones that do the big PA shows, VA shows in London, but very often they're part of the events industry shows as well.
They
all sort of combine.
Cool. Right, I want to tell you about this. Maidstone Borough Council is supporting a free course to help entrepreneurs start a business. Maidstone Borough Council is supporting a free pilot training course for budding entrepreneurs to learn how to start a business in just 10 days with no budget or business plan necessary. The virtual Rebel Business Course, also sponsored by Kent County Council, runs until the 30th of July and is open to any local person with a business idea. Participants will learn practical ways to get a business off the ground, as well as gain advice on how to sustain and thrive. The course is just one of the ways Maidstone Council is helping to drive employment and business growth, and people of all ages, whether currently working or unemployed, are invited to attend. The Rebel Business School runs courses around the country, which are free to access thanks to the help of local sponsors. No experience is necessary, and the course is suitable for anyone. For more details and to sign up for the course, if you go to events.popupbusinessschool.co.uk/Kent. That's events.popupbusinessschool.co.uk. Ah, the chap that runs the Pop-Up Business School was on the Business Bunker Show last year.
Last year.
And I'm desperately trying to think of his name, and I can't. So I'm sorry, I can't remember your name. But the guy that runs it was a guest on the show, and it was really interesting.
I quite like that idea. Pop-up, you move around different areas.
Well, one of the, it's really remiss of me that I can't remember his name. I want to say Toby, but I might just be making that up. But the interesting thing about it was when we talked about what they talk about in the Pop-Up Business School, how very practical it was. You know, I've been to a few of these things and, you know, they're a bit airy-fairy and, you know, it's all pie-in-the-sky stuff, whereas this was really nailed on, and it was a lot of stuff about sales, as we were talking earlier, Gemma, about how you've really got to bite the bullet and sell, otherwise you just don't have a business.
No.
And a lot of business programs, a lot of startup programs try to avoid the subject because they know people don't like it, because none of us particularly enjoy selling, really, unless you're a salesperson. But it's what you've got to do. And I mean, the way I look at it is I just don't think of it as selling. I think of it as just, you know.
I think sharing your passion is
Yeah,
good way of
thinking. What else you got, Mand?
I have got MBC's Business Terrace open to all as restrictions lift. Maidstone Borough Council is encouraging business people, whether solopreneurs, startups, or growing companies, to make the most of its flexible workspace. The Business Terrace now. For growing companies to make the most of its flexible workspace, the Business Terrace now that COVID restrictions have lifted. The commas are very useful when you're trying to read something. As the Maidstone Borough Council growth accelerator, the Business Terrace provides a new generation of facilities for businesses to start, grow and thrive, and has helped over 600 businesses to date. It offers a range of options from occasional hot desking to ongoing office space, as well as meeting and conference rooms without a restrictive contract. During the pandemic, the building has operated a limited capacity in accordance with guidelines. With all restrictions ending on the 19th of July, yesterday, the Business Terrace is now able to welcome more users who may not want to make a long commute and will benefit from access to its free on-site business advisors. With meeting rooms and office space large enough to allow for social distancing, as well as outside terrace, users can be reassured that they are still able to use the building in a COVID-secure way. The Business Terrace is a perfect location in the heart of Maidstone. Business people can use it as and when they choose without a long-term commitment. Past tenants tell us it has had a huge impact on their development, giving them the physical and mental space to grow and succeed. We hope more businesses are encouraged to give the facilities a try. To find out more and to inquire about booking a desk, office or meeting space, visit businessinmaidstone.co.uk.
Fantastic. Thank you. There well you read. Go.
That wasn't too bad, was it?
Yeah.
Just got to remember the commas. We're there for a reason.
Online retail giant Amazon has confirmed it's to create more than 1,300 jobs at a huge new fulfilment centre in Dartford. The £205 million warehouse will be based on the site of the decommissioned Littlebrook Power Station next to Tunnel Approach on the River Thames. Amazon has previously said it is due to open in August this year. When completed, the four-storey mega box will encompass 2.3 million square feet. It's a biggie, equivalent to roughly 30 football pitches. The facility will be powered by what is said to be the largest solar photovoltaic system of any new development in the UK. Photovoltaic scheme of any new development in the UK with 3.5 megawatt capacity. The announcement comes as Amazon revealed its plans to create 10,000 permanent jobs in the UK during 2021, taking its workforce in the UK to more than 55,000 people.
That's incredible.
It is. I'm going to tell you about the Business Bunker Extra Show on Thursday, and Neville Gaunt, who's a guest, we were talking about this, about how so many people have panicked over the collapse of retail, and it's moved to online. But of course, as normal with most people, they don't think it through. The only thing that's collapsed in retail is the front of house.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, people working in shops and having the physical shop. Retail itself is still a thing, and it's a really big thing. But instead of being front of house now, it's all moved to back of house. Mm-hmm. So instead of having three people serving in a shop, you've now got 1,300 people picking and packing in a giant warehouse mm-hmm. and putting it in trucks and delivering it. And all and it's not just those picking and packing jobs. It's all the admin jobs and all the IT jobs that go with it because it's all automated. Mm-hmm. So retail as an industry is thriving. It's just changing like everything else. And it's not right in front of you. It's all in the back end, as they say.
Well, where else would it be?
I like a bit of back end.
Moving on.
What you got?
We have some exciting news to share. Following the retirement of Buckland's CEO and financial director, Jeremy and Linda Weaver from the print industry, their daughter Katie Weaver has now taken over the family business and the family name forward into a new era of design, print and graphics with the launch of Cactus Graphics.
Cool.
Developed in partnership with Richard Archer, and Richard Archer we know very well, who's the managing director of Buckland's. They will continue to offer the Buckland Media Group's extensive services offering across graphic design and the print of marketing, signage and display materials, whilst extending the large format provision with the use of a new UV direct to substrate digital printer. There we go. Substrata. Anyway.
I don't know. I'm just making it up.
It's a big printer, mate. Yeah. It's to do big printing.
It's a big one.
They do all big signage and laminates for decorating for offices and all that type of thing. But it's fantastic. So Richard, I've worked with a lot over the years. He's done a lot of printing and sponsorship of my events and stuff. And it's great that the business has taken a new move and that he's still part of it. So it'd be really exciting to see how they get on with that. But check out their new website, which is cactusgraphics.co.uk. I hope they don't get rid of the boar, though. Their logo was like this boar, the Bucklands.
Oh, yeah. And I thought you were talking about me again, well, yeah. Being a boar.
No. I have been very disappointed with the lack of gifts today, people. I think
Paul and Polly
must not be listening.
Yeah. Have you had any more gifts? That is the question.
No. Well, that's to say, we're lacking today.
There's a call for artists, designers and makers, Christmas fair. Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Who mentioned that word? Just got to shoot
yet.
Anybody
on,
who mentions that word.
That's too early.
There's a reason why they've had to mention it earlier, okay. And I'll explain. The Christmas fair is taking place at the Turner Contemporary, and this is from Kent Creative Arts. And they're saying, we're inviting Kent-based designers and makers to submit their work for the Designers and Makers Christmas Fair, which will be held at the Turner Contemporary in Margate on Saturday the 4th and Sunday the 5th of December. Our goal is to showcase the work of designers and makers whilst creating an opportunity for them to sell directly to existing and new customers in one of the main cultural venues in Kent. We're looking forward to receiving your submissions. So if you want to be there at Christmas, you've got to submit your work now for assessment and inclusion. And to do that, you go to their website, which is kentcreative.org/designers and makers. That's kentcreative.org/designers and makers.
They're being super organised, I must say.
Absolutely. Well, that's Natalie Benaig for you.
Couple of weeks ago, somebody said to me it was only 25 Mondays till Christmas.
25 Mondays until Christmas. Yeah. How many Tuesdays then?
Well, there must be, you know, about 30 by now, I think.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's probably more, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's got to be.
Bound to be. We need some guests then.
What, for Christmas? Oh, no, God, no, you made me say the blimmin' word.
No, what, for the Tuesdays.
Next, for the next 30
For
Tuesdays.
The next 32 days of Christmas, or Tuesdays, or something. You're talking nonsense, aren't you, woman?
Yeah, I normally do.
Have you got anything else?
No, I've read all mine. Okay. I've been very efficient, you see.
Have you?
Yes.
Well, we're nearly at the end of the show.
I know.
I've got some other stuff. I just want to check that I've... Because I've been shuffling this stuff about, and I might have missed some.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah, you missed the one we did earlier, didn't she? About the job. Hey, you might like this. It's a job.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Shall
I do it again?
Yeah, you can if you want, but I was actually listening on my way, and I know what
the
job is.
Oh, do you? The ghost train?
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't suggesting it for you.
Uh-huh.
No. You're not scary.
Only to certain people.
Right. An award-winning IT company is looking for apprentices. Okay. Tribeca Technology Group, based in Sittingbourne, is continuing to invest in recruiting local talent with the announcement that they are looking for another 6 to 10 apprentices to join their growing team. This exciting news comes off the back of Tribeca Technology Group winning Best Overall Business at the highly prestigious 2021 ActionCoach BizX Awards. Chief Executive Mark Instance said our apprenticeship scheme ensures continued investment in local employment, and we are delighted to have taken in 22 apprentices since the scheme started in 2011, and many of them are still with us. He continued, we are proud of our well-established academy and have a dedicated space for the apprentices to receive their training. The new recruits are positioned throughout the business, including business administration, accounts, sales and technical. If you'd like to be part of an exciting, forward-thinking business, then Tribeca is a great place to start your career. We also work closely with Mid Kent College, offering short-term training courses as well as full-time training. If you would like to find out more about how you can secure an apprenticeship with Tribeca Technology, please drop us an email to Sean Airy at Tribeca IT. That's Sean, S-H-A-U-N dot Airy, A-I-R-E-Y, at Tribeca, T-R-I-B-E-C-A hyphen IT dot com. Sean dot Airy at Tribeca hyphen dot com.
We have a quick tweet from Athelbrey.
Right.
They're going to catch up later because currently they're entertaining one of their grandchildren with his version of keeping cool and chilled.
Right.
Can't work out what he's doing.
Okay. Like
drinking a bottle of beer. No, it's a bottle of juice.
Okay. Have they mentioned their dog, Jasper?
No, I haven't seen how Jasper is doing.
Because they had a problem with him, didn't they, the other day?
Yeah, he had an operation and it didn't heal properly.
Right.
So he was after the operation, he wouldn't lay down for about 13 hours.
Oh,
so eventually he got him back to the vet.
He stood up all that time?
Yeah, he couldn't lay down. And they couldn't get him to lay down because he was in so much pain. And then their vets wouldn't see him again because of COVID.
Right.
So they found another vet who said it was blood clots and stuff. So they gave him some more painkillers and he was more comfortable. But yeah, bless him. These animals do go through trying times.
Mm. Right, absolutely. Mm. This is one that you'll recognise, Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
The Kent and Medway Apprentice Graduation Ceremony.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, 2021. Amanda organised the first one. This year, the Kent and Medway FSB will be supporting the Kent and Medway Apprentice Graduation Ceremony. This will be a virtual event held on Friday the 8th of October and is set to be a memorable event recognising the valuable role apprentices play in the workplace. If you're an apprentice, employee or know an apprentice that you feel deserves recognition, then you can nominate them. And there's a website for that, which is appgradkm.org/registration. appgradkm.org/registration. First one was what, 2019?
Must be now, because it certainly wasn't last year.
No.
Nothing happened last year.
But the one that you organised was a real one.
Yeah, that was a live one.
It was a live one in Rochester Cathedral.
Hopefully they'll go back to live next year, because it was an amazing... We
had 600 people?
Yeah, six to 700 people attended.
Yeah.
Just under 100 apprentices.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really lovely to see, you know, the apprentices getting appreciated for, you know, their hard work and everything. So
Basically it was, you know, those that have been to university and attend a graduation ceremony, and it had all the accoutrements, didn't it? Capes and mortar boards and all the rest of it.
Oh, we had the lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Oh, it was a good event.
Yeah, very much so.
Mm. Well, we're fast approaching the end of another show.
Look at that. How does time just go?
Time flies when you're having fun.
It does go past very quickly, doesn't it?
Now we've got to go back out into that heat.
Hmm. So thank you to everybody. A big thank you to Gemma Oliver, your virtual personal assistant.
Thank you.
Give us a shout out for your website again, just so that people can...
Ooh. So it's www.yourvpa.co.uk.
Fantastic. Do check that out. Have a look at what she does.
Absolutely.
It's a lovely website. Thank you for joining us and for being part of the show and for helping get it on the road. When,
can I do my little tagline?
Yeah.
Very quickly. So I say that your VPA is the name and saving you from your admin nightmare is the game.
Well, wow. There you go. You should give her a permanent job on the scene then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, Jules, you're out.
She's really nailing it, isn't she?
You're on holiday. Yeah. Don't need me anymore.
Yeah. So thank you, Gemma. A big thank you to Neil Curran of Paragon Drones for also participating in the show.
He has quickly tweeted to say a huge thanks.
I did see that as well, yeah. So he did just drop us a tweet and say he enjoyed doing that. So thank you for that, Neil. Thank you to everybody that tweeted and sent emails. Massive thank you to Amanda for being here and stepping in at short notice and then having
Jules,
a...
Jules goes on holiday and just call Amanda in.
Yeah, absolutely.
In her lighthouse, wherever
absolutely.
She is.
Do join me for the Business Bunker Extra Show on Thursday at 1 o'clock, a 30-minute show. And this week I'm talking to Neville Gaunt of MindFit Limited and Your Passport to Grow. And we're talking about attitude. We're talking about soft skills. We're talking about developing talent and growing businesses using people's skills. So it's all about attitude and behavioural change. So do join us 1 o'clock on Thursday on bizradio.co.uk for the Business Bunker Extra Show with Mr. Neville Gaunt. But apart from that, I think that's it, everyone.
We've done it. We're done.
I think we've made it to the end of a show.
Yay! Woohoo!
And the electricity is still on.
I know. Shh, quick.
Which is amazing, really, isn't it? And the microphones worked and everything.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's been no dramas. It's been great.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say there's been no dramas.
No, there has
Gemma.
Been. Yeah,
there has been dramas, but not in the studio and not technical dramas. Yeah. You're quite right.
There you go.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll be back next week. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. See you all soon. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.